Hello and welcome to I Talk to Ghosts. I'm your haunted host, Jennifer, a spirit medium and a teller of ghost stories. Tonight, we will be exploring a few tales of haunted hotels. From mysterious voices to moving objects, these rooms in this episode have it all. But don't check out after the stories. Stick around for a new in-studio spirit reading. And you're also welcome to join me at my seance table for a message from the spirits. What will be shared tonight? Join me in the candlelight to find out. But first, the spooky, the hotel ghosts are checking in right now. My last paranormal experience took place 2 months ago during a trip overseas. My wife and I were staying at a very quiet hotel the last night of our trip. During the late hours of the night, a violent argument broke out in the room next to ours, and the loud voices woke my wife and I. We distinctly heard a man's voice and that of a woman fighting with each other, but we couldn't quite make out what they were saying, even when they raised their voices louder. Then we heard objects being thrown and smashed, and then a banging on our wall and doors slamming. Suddenly, someone opened the door to their room and slammed it fiercely. We heard running down the hallway, banging on the walls and doors, including ours. The person then ran down the stairs and immediately back up them, continuing to hit the walls and the doors. Frozen, not sure what to do, we suddenly watched our doorknob shake violently, as if someone wanted to enter. I sat up on the bed to get dressed, but my wife held my arm. She refused to let me go and have a look. As we whispered to each other, suddenly, I heard liquid spilling outside our door, as if a bucket of water was being dumped out. I got out of bed. My wife told me not to go, but I told her that I had to in case some crazy guy was pouring gasoline on our door before setting it on fire. I grabbed an empty beer bottle and I opened the door. The hallway was empty. The carpet was dry. So was the outside of our door. I could hear only the quiet sounds of nature. At night, the whole floor was quiet. I closed the door and I told my wife that there was nobody there. She asked me to call the front desk, but what would I say? I suggested we talk to them in the morning and for now, try to get back to sleep as best we could. In the morning, we went straight to reception to describe to the desk clerk what had happened during the night. The clerk told us he had been behind the counter all evening and he had not seen or heard anything. Moreover, he assured me that that room had been unoccupied all weekend. We said that was impossible. We knew what we heard and we couldn't have possibly imagined it. The employee repeated that all the rooms on the second floor were unoccupied except ours and a room down the hall, but those customers had left very early that morning. This conversation went on for 10 minutes and obviously it was not going anywhere. During our lunch, the waitress told us she had overheard what we were saying at reception. She told us that we were not the only ones who experienced strange things on the second floor, and many stories circulate about this hotel. She informed us that the hallways were equipped with cameras. We thanked her, and after our meal, we headed to reception. The clerk had finished his shift, and it was now a young woman behind the counter. We explained our misadventure and asked to see the video recordings. To our surprise, she agreed without argument. She accessed the video from the night before and invited us to go behind the counter to look at her screen. At 2:30 that night, nothing happens for 5 minutes. Then, we could see me open the door to our room and look into the hallway. After my inspection of the floor and the door, we could see me go back into the room and close the door. That's it. In the end, I was glad my wife heard the same things I did that night. Otherwise, I could have dismissed all of it as a dream or hallucination. And in a strange way, it was comforting to have seen the video recording that shows that I indeed opened the door and had looked into the hall. There may not have been other activity captured on video, but both my wife and I know what we heard that night. For our anniversary, my husband and I wanted to do something adventurous, and we decided to book a room at a haunted hotel. The Copper Queen Hotel looked more attractive to us than any of the other hotels in the supposedly haunted town of Bisbee, Arizona. We made the reservation, and we were given room 217 on the second floor. We left the room a couple of times that night to get dinner and then to enjoy a drink at the bar near the hotel. I had brought with us a digital camera to record any odd activity during our stay in the hotel. So every time we left the room, I turned on the video camera in the suite's living room in the hopes of catching anything unusual. Each time I played back what was recorded, there was nothing to note, just us talking while leaving and then coming back into the room. Around 1 a.m., we were ready to call it a night and go to sleep. I made sure the camera was on in the living room, and I got into bed. I couldn't sleep. I was restless, and my husband noticed that I was uneasy. He started joking about all the ghosts and spirits we heard about that night from other guests at the hotel. Stories about Billy, a little boy roaming the hotel, and also an old-timey man who could be seen smoking a cigar. One guest had told me that the night before, her family heard screams and scratching noises on the walls. I couldn't fall asleep, and I was not letting my husband fall asleep before me. After a while, I did manage to fall asleep. I don't know what time it was, but I awoke to something grabbing me by the foot. It yanked me off the bed so hard, I had to grab the bed to keep me from falling off. I was confused and terrified. I wrapped myself in the blankets and covered my face. I couldn't sleep again after that until almost morning. The next day, I got up and played the recording from the night before. At first, there was only us talking in the other room. But as soon as my husband mentioned some of the ghosts haunting the hotel, the recording picked up noise and static. The static and interference lasted nearly 2 hours. I listened to what was recorded in its entirety, and I swear I hear what sounded like soft voices talking, but it was too difficult to make out what they were saying in the static, white noise of it all. With all that audio interference, I did want to debunk that my camera hadn't just broken. So, once we returned home, I recorded more random footage. The camera worked just fine. No static, no interference at all. I am convinced that whatever grabbed me by the foot had enough energy to make the recording have so much static. My friend and I really loved the paranormal, and there was one specific trip we took together to stay in a haunted hotel in Gettysburg, hoping to have an experience. Our hotel room was decorated in ornate 19th century decor. The whole suite was very pink and overwhelming. The bathroom was modernized, but still had a few of the same decorative touches. The most unique item in the bathroom, right inside the door, was a baby cradle, complete with a pale pink ruffled blanket and a creepy porcelain doll. After exploring our room, we read the entries in the guest book on the table in our suite. I know we were risking the power of suggestion, but we were super curious about what other guests had to say. These previous guests noted their paranormal experiences and impressions, and we quickly debunked a few of the spooky encounters. One of the experiences listed was the smell of cigarettes in the room. We found that our room was just above the service entrance to the hotel. It was too easy to assume the workers may step out to smoke and hang out near the door, and the cigarette odor could travel into the hotel suite. All logic aside, when it came time to go to bed that night, my friend refused to turn out the lights. We've been through this before. I had brought a sleep mask with me. As I slept that night, I could hear a constant thumping, similar to a water pipe trying to heat up. This noise would stop and then start again. It wasn't enough to keep me awake. However, my friend, judging by his tossing and turning, was restless most of the night. The next morning, I woke up to find my friend watching TV. I greeted him with a good morning, that wasn't so scary. He replied that I had slept through most of it. Turns out that thumping was the baby cradle in the bathroom. It would start rocking and it would bump into the wall. And my friend kept having to get up and make it stop moving. He finally gave up and let it go. The noises finally stopped on their own at dawn. Needless to say, my shower that morning was a quick one, with the door open. Hello and welcome back to I Talk to Ghosts. My guest this evening is Danielle. Danielle, welcome. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm very excited for this. I think I say that every reading, but I'm feeling this. I am feeling this here. I'm just going to jump right in, if that's okay. It's like no warning. There's a woman here for you. And the first thing is she's saying is, she recognizes how much you feel you need her, and she wants you to know
that when you reach out, she is there and she feels that. And and she's also saying, like, don't worry, just trust the outcome of things in life. That's her advice. She's coming through with a lot of practicality to her. Like, she's like the logic person and the organized person, and all you need is a plan. There's also this really nice offering of friendship. Like, I feel this glow in my heart that's like, hey, we're still together and we're still going to share things. She's saying, mom. Did you lose your mom?
Yeah.
And does this sound like her?
Yeah.
Okay. She's coming through, sharp woman. Like, yeah. If you ask her something, she immediately has a response, whether it's advice or a question. Just very smart.
Yeah.
And I feel like she was your rock. There's reassurances in her answers. Does that make sense?
Yeah, my mother was a very sharp woman. You're correct about that. incredibly sassy and very, yeah, very witty, very, very bold personality, I would say.
Did you two clash when you were younger?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that kind of evolved, your relationship evolved as you got older.
I think so.
She's agreeing.
In my head, mentally, it's evolved for me.
Mm-hmm.
But when we were younger, we did not get along. And it was more so from like my child perspective, I think.
Well, she's saying that you're a different animal than her, you know, that your emotion and your passion for things clash a bit.
That makes sense.
I'm seeing a lot of worldliness with you, like, mm-hmm. and how it affects your viewpoint of things. Like, you have an expansive view of the world. Part of that was developed through travel.
Yeah, when I was 18, I did a lot of traveling, and oh, I nice. Left my hometown. Yeah.
The ocean is coming up a lot, and humidity.
Yeah, I was raised in Florida.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I think she really loved it there.
Yeah. Was she a little reserved with people she didn't know? Or just at least private?
I think she was very private.
Yeah. Yeah, because I feel like that's coming through a little bit with her. She's calling you an imagination station. She wants to brag a little bit and say that you're just so creative, and the things that you can pull into this reality are just really impressive and matter. Just matter. Mm-hmm. You change people's lives.
Yeah.
You're like your own Willy Wonka.
Yeah. I'm a stained glass artist.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah.
That does take a lot of imagination. And the end result, beautiful art form. She's saying where you're similar is your energy and drive to keep going and to be able to juggle multiple things. You'll get it done.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you get that from her a little bit? Because she wants to kind of share your similarities a little.
Yeah. She somehow always made things work.
She's saying that sometimes there just wasn't a safety net. But it worked.
Yeah. Yeah. She was very good at pulling things off. I don't know how she ever pulled things off, but she did.
She wants to give this advice to you. Know yourself and know what you're capable of. Doesn't have to be proven. Who cares if it's questioned? It's like you just keep that goal in your head and you'll make it work. And knowing yourself. And that's what true confidence is. I think a lot of times we can confuse confidence with being aggressive or domineering. And it's like, no, mm-hmm. it's about quietly knowing yourself and having grace and patience to navigate and figure things out as you go. Does that resonate for you?
Yeah.
I was also getting the impression that there is a gentleman with you as well. This feels like older grandfather energy.
Yeah, I have both grandfathers deceased.
Okay. Now with him, he seems a little tenacious and a little dedicated. Like he is great with repetition, great with patterns. Does this sound familiar at all? Did you know him very well?
One of them I do know was a construction worker in some sense, with some a little bit of engineering lines up.
He had a lot of energy to him too. Always had to be doing something. And it was like, gotta go, gotta go, gotta go. So I wouldn't be surprised if that runs in your family a little bit. Mm-hmm. That, and it's okay to take a break. It's yeah. okay to rest. especially if you start to feel a little burned out, mm-hmm. realize sitting still shouldn't be considered a bad thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I struggle with that.
And that's okay. But mm-hmm. just know that, you know, it's self-care to allow yourself to take that nap or clear your brain, not do anything, and see how more energized you are after the fact. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there anyone else that you are hoping would connect for you tonight?
Actually, but it's a pet.
Oh, okay. Is this a black and white dog?
No, but I do. My main dog, who's still currently alive, is black and white, and she's okay. like soul pet.
Okay. That's probably what I'm picking up on there. Okay. Let's see if Doggo is close. Well, right away, they're expressing that they're passing. There was no avoiding it, and they want to give you comfort in that way of there's nothing you could have done. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
They're confessing to like mood swings.
Oh my God. That's good. Yeah. He had moods. His name was Toad. The reason he's probably showing you a black and white dog is because that's my other dog that he was raised with. And like they were best friends. And he had mood swings. I don't think it was his fault, but mood swings for sure.
The way he's describing it is it was like all of a sudden there'd be so much energy and it had nowhere to go. And like it freaked him out.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. And he's saying he loved looking to you for direction and like, what are we going to do today? What are we going to do today? His eyes are following you all around the room. When he wasn't doing that, he was running around. Yeah. You know, with the first thing he wanted to say was, and wanted to give you that comfort and understanding that it's okay. And like he's offering all the issues that he brought to the table, you know,
yeah,
and bringing that forward. Your black and white dog, does he have something that he chews on? Like he's like saying, make sure that the other dog has their toy. You know, does that make sense?
She chews on a lot of things. She's a chewer.
Okay.
That's, yeah.
It's like advice. Like, make sure she has something designated that she can love and chew on because it'll help. There'll be a comfort in that because, like, it's, she's like, make sure she has some, you know, the chew thing.
Okay.
And get that for her.
Huh. Okay.
Looking out for his buddy is what he's doing
there. That's so. We have another dog now. Kind of fills his shoes a little bit. But they're very similar. I feel like I just ended up getting the same dog.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. They're basically identical behaviors, aside from maybe all the biting.
That's good. Thank you so much for meeting with me today. And it's just lovely to kind of get to know you and your mom, and grandpa popped in there a little bit too. and your dog as well. Your dog certainly, you know, I'm always surprised when it's like, okay, well, let's open this up and see what happens. And there they are. And there they are. And it's just so sweet, you know, because of all the things that could be said, you know, and then they come right through. It's just really endearing. And thank you for sharing that with me.
Of course. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Before we go, do you have a personal ghost story that you'd like to share?
I do not personally, but I do have a friend who might be willing to share her story.
And she's there?
Yeah.
You want to drag her? Drag her in.
Yeah, I'll go grab her really quick.
Listener ghost story.
My name is Victoria, and I am a small business owner in Portland. So, do you know the Stranger Things house, the newest season?
Yes.
So
yes.
I used to work there.
Oh. So
it used to be a bed and breakfast.
Okay.
In Georgia, obviously. And I worked there, but in college. So there was one weekend when I was in keeping. I was just by myself. It's probably a bad idea to begin with. And it was me and my younger sister. She was maybe in middle school at the time, but we were upstairs in one of the rooms, and I had everything laid out to have new guests in. So I had like sheets, towels, little shampoo, soaps, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So she and I are talking, and I heard something call my name. And I thought it was her at first. And so I like whipped my head around, but it wasn't her because she was like in the bathroom portion of the room. It's a huge Victorian mansion. So it's like every room has its own bathroom. And I was like, what? And so I turned back around and all of the stuff I had laid out was gone. It was all gone.
Oh my gosh.
Where
did it?
I don't know. We never found it.
You never found any of it?
Never found it. I asked my sister, and I was kind of thinking that, like, she was playing a prank on me, because that's just what we do. And she had no idea what I was talking about. I talked to the innkeepers when they got home, or the inn, the people that owned it, and they had no idea where it went. They never found it. And it was all pretty easy to spot, because it's all, like, very ornate and, like, Victorian and everything's so different. So yeah, it was great. It was very strange.
That is crazy.
Yeah. And I heard something call my name. That was the weird part. And so I like whipped around. I don't know if it was trying to distract me or get my attention or what, but it was very eerie.
Wow. Okay. So this is the house from the last season, from the flashbacks, that has the rose on the door.
Yes.
And the beautiful woodwork and everything, and the creepy attic. But does this house have a history of weird activity and hauntings that you're aware of or not?
So I feel like everybody always thinks every Victorian house is haunted just because that's the connotation. But so this was one of the first houses in Rome, Georgia. It was called, it's the Claremont House. It was built by, I think his name is Tom Yancey, but they were incredibly wealthy. It was one of the first houses in Rome to have electricity. So they were like rolling in the dough. And allegedly people have actually seen, you know, the stereotypical women in white, the, you know, stereotypical ghost. I never saw anything, but I definitely always felt I was not ever by myself, if that makes sense. Like, like a corner of the house would feel full, like there was something there, or something just felt like really like heavy. And sometimes it felt okay, and then sometimes it felt not so great, if that makes sense. But I never saw anything. People have said before that it's haunted, but that is my personal experience with that house. Very creepy. And then my other ghost story with that same house, that there's another bedroom. It's called the Claremont Room. And it, once again, it's kind of the same layout, but there's like a little offshoot of the bedroom, and you like walk down, and there's a closet, and then you turn the corner, and then there's the bathroom. And so I was in that room, And then all of the alarm clocks went off at the same time, like in the whole house. Yeah. That's when I was like, okay, I am freaked out. I'm just a young girl, just in college. Like, I was so scared. But, and it happened again when I was always by myself. So those are the only two times where I'm like, okay, that was not a coincidence. Something weird is going on here. But yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I love that house so much.
I had no idea it was a real house. I just assumed it was a set.
Wow. Yes, it was a personal home, I think, until the 70s, and then they converted it into a bed and breakfast. And I think a younger couple just bought it not too long ago before they started filming Stranger Things. It's a beautiful house. They just recently redone it. Like, thank God they didn't gut it, but they, like, restored everything, and it's stunning.
Wow.
Look it up. It's called the Claremont House in Rome, Georgia.
Okay.
It's a really, really cool piece of property.
Very cool.
Yeah.
That is awesome. Thank you. Thank you for coming in and sharing your story.
Yeah,
that's great.
I hope that was, like, succinct enough. I was very put on the spot. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah. I do have a personal question to ask you.
Okay.
Before you go. Do you experience or have any feel like you have a calling towards either like the healing arts or energy work?
I do always feel like I want to help people, and I want mm-hmm. to, like, you know, not fix their problems per se, but
sure.
always be a shoulder to talk, lean on, or someone to talk mm-hmm. to or vent. Mm-hmm. So that's not the first time I've gotten that from someone.
I ask that whenever I'm talking to someone and my hands heat up. It's almost like recognizing healing energy. If you ever feel inclined to explore that avenue of things, I would just encourage you to do so, because I think you could have some natural talents there. And that could take on many forms. It could be Reiki, using empathetic energy. It could be, you know, moving energy. Anything like in a healing, compassionate modality, I think would go really well for you. And you would find it really fulfilling. So I just want to put that in your ear for you.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. I've gotten that before, but I wasn't really sure like what exactly that meant. But mm-hmm. I would be interested in that. So thank you.
You're welcome. Awesome.
Yeah. Nice to meet you. Do you want Danielle back?
I do. Okay. I do.
Yeah, it's nice to meet you.
I can see why you wanted to pull your friend in.
Yeah. It's a wild story. She can tell stories very well.
Well, I just want to thank you again and leave you with your mom's love, because she's certainly there for you. And wanting to offer supportive energy, especially in like any time of just worry or fret, that she's like, just have a plan, and you're gonna. She just believes in you so much that if there's something you want to do, you're going to be able to accomplish it. Before we go, I have a couple messages for you.
Okay.
I wrote down that your worldview is so expansive. That you have that in you, and to encourage you to keep learning, exploring, and playing.
Okay.
And that you're just so creative and strong, and just know that through and through. And your heart is always in the right place. So just believe in that, because you deserve no less than that. Okay.
Thank you.
And your mom just wants to say how proud she is of you in so many different ways, and just wants to encourage you to celebrate your life and learn and explore and just embrace all of the adventure of it.
Thank you.
It was so great meeting with you and talking with you. And it's just such a treat to spend this time with you.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Would you like a free spirit reading with me and record your reading for the podcast? Sign up for your chance to be selected by visiting italktoghosts.com/guest. And as an added bonus, if you don't want to leave your reading up to chance, I'll let you in on a secret. There's a discount offer to book a private session with me, so you can book a date and time for certain. Visit italktoghosts.com/guest for more details. I can't wait to meet you. Hello and welcome back to I Talk to Ghosts. I have a message from the spirits this evening for someone listening to the podcast. So thank you for joining me in the candlelight. Tonight, as I do my spirit work, I have with me fluorite. This is the deepest purple fluorite crystal I own. It almost looks black. If you're not familiar with fluorite, this crystal is well known for its calming and soothing properties. It is also a great crystal to call upon as a psychic shield. It's also really nice to have around to clear your energy, move negative energy out of your system, as well as your space. Tonight, I'm going to ground and center to set the intention for a spirit to come close, for someone listening to the podcast right now. I have with me tonight someone's friend. She's showing me that you met at work, and her energy is very calming, yet humorful at the same time. It's a lovely combination. She is showing me that your workplace was near some forest trails, and you would often just grab a lunch and sit in the car and look at the trees and talk. And it was a simple thing, but it really made your day. And it was just a nice reset in the middle of the workday as well. You would hang out after work as well. There were a couple of shows that you loved to watch together. You were both very much into fantasy, sci-fi, and action films. But there was a variety of TV shows that you used to watch together. This friendship really felt like she was the sister you never had. It feels like she passed suddenly, perhaps from a car accident, and her loss was very hard for you. It's still very real and current. Her message for you tonight is she just wants to pour kindness at you. She realizes how hard this has been for you, and the turmoil that it's causing in your heart and your mind. And her message is that you're still connected, and she wants you to be gentle with yourself in the grieving process, because she only wants the best for you in life, and she knows how smart and funny you are, and the joy that you get from everything you can experience in life that you love. And she just wants to take this as an opportunity for you to hear her, that she understands your grief, but she is still connected, she is still with you, and she just wants to lighten your heart for you. I think I'm going to leave it at that. If this message connects for you, please reach out and we will do a reading. I know my schedule gets kind of full, but we'll find the time so that we can talk. You can email me at speaknow@italktoghosts.com. Thank you. Are you enjoying your ghostly visit? If so, please follow, like, comment, and share. The ghosts may be talkative, but they are lousy at marketing, so every click helps. Tell your friends and please leave a kind review so that others might join us. The spirits and I thank you. And with that, dear listener, we've reached the end of this episode of I Talk to Ghosts. I hope you've enjoyed my spirit work that I shared with you this evening, as well as those tales of haunted hotels. Have you ever stayed in a haunted hotel room? I would love to hear about it, so please reach out. In the meantime, wherever you wander off to in this world or the next, just remember, come back and visit with me. Have a lovely evening and good night.